Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today my special guest is Christine Riley, assistant professor in theater arts at Marymount Manhattan College, and she also works in the recruitment department, getting new students to come in every year. So welcome, Christine.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, thank you. So, as always, we like to get to know people before programs. So I wanted to ask you first to give us a little bit of background on yourself, talk about your training and career that sort of led you up to your time at Marymount.
Sure. Yeah, I got my Bachelor of Music at Ithaca College. I was a piano major, but I had an outside field, as they called it, in theater, and I was able to work on all the shows and work in that program. And then I went on to get my Master of Music at Arizona State University in music directing, conducting for musical theater and opera, and it was a really wonderful time. It was interesting because while I was there, part of my graduate assistantship was teaching a musical theater history course that was open to the entire college. So that's a really large university. So I had, you know, students from every major you can imagine. It was about, I had anywhere from 150 to 200 students in that huge lecture class. As a, you know, very young graduate student.
Wow.
But it was amazing. It taught me a lot about teaching, about the fact that I really love teaching, and that's what I wanted to do. So that was kind of the start. But after graduate school, I worked regionally. I was on the national tour of the Early Modern Millie as an assistant music director. I did some off-Broadway. I worked a lot of new works in New York City, NIMH Festival, all of that sort of stuff. And then a show that I was supposed to be working on for 6 months, it was a big national tour, got canceled at the very last minute. And I needed a job, and I found a teaching position for a semester at another school. And I was like, well, let's try this out. And then from there, the Marymount job opened, and I ended up at Marymount. And I've been here for a little over 10 years. It's been a really wonderful experience.
Oh, that's great. So teaching has sort of been part of you right from the beginning, right out of college. That's sort of unique compared to some of the others that we've been speaking to. So I love that. Great. So what classes are you actually responsible for at the school? When will the students get a chance to work with you?
Sure. I'm lucky. I get to teach freshmen and seniors. So I see the students as they come in and then as they're leaving again. It's a really wonderful place to be. So I teach music theater fundamentals, which is our freshman or first year music theory and sight singing course. Mm-hmm. And then the senior year I teach song portfolio and professional preparation for musical theater students. So that's basically our building your songbook and audition prep class to get the students ready to enter the business. Wow. I also music direct productions for the school as well.
Oh, perfect. All right, let's dive into the sort of newly minted BFA program at Marymount Manhattan. Before we started recording, I said you got this brand new BFA program that everyone was so excited about, and then COVID hit. So what has that transition been like into the BFA program? I mean, I guess you're getting sort of a trial year to get your feet wet before you get to do it full steam ahead.
Right. I mean, the reality is a lot of our training is very similar, packaged somewhat differently because we switched to a BFA. But really, we've had an incredible training program in place for a number of years. But we did transition into the BFA just a few years ago. So it certainly has been an interesting few years with COVID and everything happening. But I feel like we're really ready for next year. We're really ready to be in person with our students.
Oh, I'm sure.
And get to know them better in that realm.
I'm sure. This is actually a unique opportunity to ask someone who has now been in a program that was a BA that made the transfer into BFA. So would you talk a little bit and sort of educate our listeners as to what that difference really looked like in real life application? I can sort of tell them on paper what that difference is, but can you chat a little bit about what sort of changes took place?
Yeah, in reality, not a ton, just because of how our BA was structured, because it was a BA in what we call theater performance, which was an acting program with a minor in musical theater. But our minor was huge. It was 24 credits. which is larger than a typical minor. So basically, we combined those two programs. We combined the BA in theater performance, that acting degree, with the minor and created a new degree. But the basics of what is included in that major is really the same. Our BFA is different, though, than you'll see at many conservatory schools, right? Mm-hmm. In the conservatory, typically, you have 90 credits in your major and only about 30 in the liberal arts. But because Marymount Manhattan is a liberal arts college, our BFA program is 63 credits in the major. And then the rest of those credits, there's 42 credits of required liberal arts classes, and then there's a good chunk in there that are elective credits. So right. Students can choose to do more training, right? Take more performance classes as electives if they want, but they can also find a minor that they're interested in or a double major, mm-hmm. which is one of the strong points we feel of our program, because we know that we're not just training performers, but we really want to train, you know, the next generation of humans in our world. And we think that giving them that liberal arts foundation and encouraging them to do those minors and those double majors really helps them prepare for the world that we're living in right now. It also makes them better theater artists, right? Because ultimately, theater's not usually about theater. Mm-hmm. Theater's about religion and politics and history and all the things happening in the world. And so if they have a better grasp on those things, we feel like it actually makes them better performers in the long run.
Yeah. It's not really all that common to have a BFA musical theater program that will allow a double major. So this is, again, a unique opportunity at Marymount that students can't find elsewhere. So when a student comes to me and you know, either they or their parents are adamant about a double major or something, you know, Marymount's always on my list for them. Talk a little bit, we'll talk more about the performing arts side of it too, but just so we can clarify a bit on the liberal arts side, because they do require a bit more, are there the core curriculum like you get at other schools, is that sort of mapped out for them on which years they take what? Or, you know, most of my, just to clarify the question a bit, most of the programs that my students are looking for, they're only getting one or two classes that are non-singing, dancing, acting each year. Mm-hmm. So what does that sort of core curriculum look like as they come in as freshmen year by year?
Right. So starting that first year, all of our first-year students take a full year of writing typically. Some may come with really high SAT scores or AP credits, but typically they're in a full year of writing class. As well as what our first semester, they're all in what we call a New York City seminar, which counts as one of their general education classes. But they're really unique classes because they are not only either a psychology-based class or a English-based class or a theater-based class, but they're New York City-centric. So the students are in the classroom learning about whatever their topic is, but they're also out in the city learning about the city. So it's our way of initiating our students into the life in New York City and what there is to offer. There's one called Eating New York, and they get to go around New York City and try the variety of foods that we have to offer. There's one called Backstage New York, and those students get to go and take a look at all the different types of theaters in New York City and check out some of the backstages of those places. So we really, I could go on one about the parks. If you can imagine, we have so many parks in New York, right? So it's a liberal arts class, and it counts as a liberal arts credit, but it's also very New York City centric to help our students get into that world.
Wow.
So that's their first year, and they typically take math that first year too, which we often get groans about, but we tell them there's a lot of math involved in theater when you think about special effects and, you know, do you want to make sure there's enough weight on that fly system so things don't fly on your head? We talked about the importance of math, right? And then sophomore year, they typically take one liberal arts class each semester because it's a pretty heavy theater year that sophomore year. Our students are in theater history, voice and speech, acting, and musical theater techniques that year. So that fifth class for them, typically a liberal arts class. And then junior and senior year, it opens up quite a lot. They have a lot more choice. And so they're usually in 2 to 3 liberal arts classes each semester, the junior and senior year. Just depends on the student. Some students come in with a number of AP credits or maybe a couple of community college transfer credits, and they have a little bit more wiggle room.
Right. So talk to us now about the performing arts side of their curriculum. how they start sort of as freshmen? Are there performance opportunities for freshmen? What does that look like? Walk us through that.
Sure. So course-wise, they start that first year in the script analysis class with all of our senior majors. They all take script analysis in that first year. Our musical theater students are in a full year of acting that first year, as well as our music theater fundamentals class, which I spoke about a little bit before, is music theory and sight singing for the year. It's actually paired. It's a double class. It's music theory and sight singing. It's also half the class is musical theater history. So they get a full year of both of those courses as far as performance is concerned, or as far as musical theater is concerned. Our students, our first year students are allowed to audition for the shows, for the musicals. Now, we typically cast our fall shows the year before in the spring so that those students have the summertime to do the research that they need to do, to start learning lines, to do all that preparation work. So they're not going to be performing in a show that very first semester. Unless it's a club show, we do have a variety of musical theater performance clubs on campus that are student-run clubs. One of the clubs called MTA typically puts on a homecoming show in October, and they can audition for that. The auditions are usually the first or second week of school. I like to say Marymount is not a big sports school. We don't have a big campus. We don't have any sports teams. So homecoming, we do a musical instead of a football game. So that is an opportunity for them that first semester. But then during the fall semester, we have auditions for our spring shows, and they are allowed to audition for those shows.
I'm laughing because I went to Juilliard, and I was a senior before I even knew what the mascot was at Juilliard because there's no sports
team. Ours is a gander.
Oh, it's a gander? I didn't know. Ours was a penguin at Juilliard. Had no idea. But
no, I just lied. It's not a gander. It's a griffin.
Oh.
It's a griffin. Yes. Sorry. Wrong creature. Yeah, he is around. He walks around school. On occasion, you'll see. Yeah.
Okay.
On occasion.
So let's go back and you sort of started talking about the performance opportunities as freshmen. So talk about performance opportunities in general. What do students have? How many opportunities do they have to be on stage during their 4 years?
Absolutely. So typically, and I say typically because COVID has really turned everything upside down, right?
Right.
And even looking to the fall because of caps in New York City, right? Health requirements. We're not exactly sure how things are going to work on the stream, but I'm sorry. Quick pause.
That's okay. We'll pause. You want to start that again?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. I lost.
I'll ask the question again. So you sort of started talking about the performance opportunities as freshmen. Can you sort of walk through how many opportunities they have to be on stage for their 4 years? What does that look like?
Absolutely. So typically we have two shows on our main stage each semester. So one play and one musical in the fall, one play and one musical in the spring. And then in addition to that, we have offsite productions as well. So, and I say typically because this is pre-COVID, right? This is all what we normally are doing. And so typically we have one additional show in the fall that's off campus, and then an additional show in the spring that's off campus, and then we also use January. So in January, we are typically doing yet another performance. Now, some of these performances are different levels of production, right? So our four shows that are on our main stage are fully produced. So we usually do one at the York Theater, which is a wonderful off-Broadway house in New York City on the Upper East Side. And that is pretty fully produced as well. That's always been a musical. It's one of my favorite theaters to work in. We also typically do one at New York Live Arts. That's pretty fully produced. And then we've been doing more studio-type production at the National Dance Institute up in Harlem, which has been a really wonderful addition to our offerings, and we do that project in January. In addition to all of those seven shows, we also have about 16 to 18 directing projects every year. So those are student-directed works by our student directors. They're typically like one act plays. And those happen in our box theater, our Bordeaux box theater. And we also have about 12 to 20 playwriting projects each year. And those are written by our student playwrights. We have a really wonderful Writing for the Stage program. It's actually a popular double major with many of our musical theater students. And those are directed either by directing students or some of our faculty will actually direct those playwriting projects as well. Wow. So on top of all that, as I mentioned earlier, we do have a number of student clubs, and they offer performance opportunities as well. Cabaret shows, the one full-blown musical in the fall, typically. So there's a lot going on at all times. Our communication arts department also does student films. So our students are often part of those student films as well. So they have the opportunity to work in that way.
One of the big questions that I'm getting a lot, especially after COVID, is a lot of my musical theater students are interested in programs that have a lot of opportunity to work in film or take classes in film. Is that built into the curriculum at all, or is it just opportunities with the students, the student films on campus? Can you talk to that a little
bit? Right. There's the opportunity for student films. We do have an elective. We have a number of upper-level acting electives for our students. So they can choose to take an on-camera class if they would like. We also have acting electives for musical theater in Shakespeare, although our acting students have to take Shakespeare as part of their program. It's an elective for our musical theater students. Hmm. They can take a semester of that. They can take a semester of viewpoints. They can take a semester of, we have a puppetry class. My goodness, there are a number of acting electives every semester that are offered. I would say three or four that cycle through. So they can take different types and different styles of acting, and acting for the camera is always one of those classes.
I always love dispelling rumors when I'm interviewing people and hearing it right from the source, so to speak. But one of the perceptions that I hear a lot about Marymount Manhattan from my students that I usually say, no, it's not true to, and I think it's probably come from those online parent groups and things that just someone said it and it stuck, is that Marymount doesn't have a lot of concentration on dance as part of their program. Could you talk to that a little bit?
Our students actually dance 5 days a week, 5 days a week, all 4 years. Even in the Zoom world, they are on Zoom dancing from 8:30 a.m. To 9:50. So it's an hour and 20-minute class every single morning their entire 4 years. They cycle through 2 days of ballet, 2 days of jazz or theater dance, and 1 day of tap. But it is, I feel, for most training programs, one of the most robust dance programs that we have. They are placed in classes based on ability level, because we do have students that come at all different backgrounds in dance, right? We have some that have danced in shows a bit, but then some that have been in ballet class since they were three. So we place them accordingly, so they're with students that have a similar background to them. And then they get to go through our amazing dance faculty, which includes the amazing Dana Moore, who is one of Bossy's dancers. We have an incredible roster of daily dance faculty. So our students are definitely dancing, and they are dancing every single day, every morning. And when we're in person, they're dancing in professional studios in New York City. They dance at Pearl Studios. They dance at Manhattan Movement and Arts Center. They dance at Ballet Hispanico. They are, again, COVID, who knows where we'll be, but in the past, these are all the spaces and the studios that we use in New York. So not only are they dancing with amazing faculty that are also teaching at BDC and STEPS, they are dancing in studios where they'll also be auditioning for their next show, right? So they're getting integrated into that New York City lifestyle and knowing which elevators are fastest and what's the best train to get to the studio. And if I walk this way, I can get coffee at so-and-so. It's just those parts of integrating into New York City that are really important to us.
Has that been a major change in the dance program since it was a BA program? I'm trying to figure out where this rumor started.
No, that daily dance has been a part of the program since I started 10 years ago.
How funny. Isn't that just funny how sometimes those believe it or not, those online parent groups might not be spreading the right information about programs. So That's odd, isn't it?
Thank you for the question then, because that's really crazy.
So you've already talked about so many wonderful things. Are there any other highlights to the program that set it apart from others? You know, what should students be coming to Marymount Manhattan for? What are the big draws?
I think we're a very small school. So although we're a large department in a small school, I think it makes it very community based and very family feeling. Marymount Manhattan currently has about 1,500 students total in the entire school. The theater department is 575 of those students, which is a large portion of a liberal arts school to be devoted to theater. And then when you add in, we have about 220 dance majors and about 100 art majors. A majority of Marymount is very artistically driven. It's a very creative place. Our president likes to say we're making creative change makers, which is really kind of what encapsulates Marymount. So I think if you want to be in a really artistic community, in a very small school, but in a big city, it's just a wonderful place to train and to learn. I've talked about the liberal arts. I think it's a really important component of our program. If someone really wants a conservatory where they don't have to take other classes, our program is not for them. But I think if you know that that's an important aspect, it's a really wonderful program. Although I said we have a large program, we have very small classes. For our studio classes, our performance classes, you're not going to have a class with more than 14 students in those classes. And even our classrooms, we don't have lecture halls. They don't exist on our campus. New York City real estate's really expensive, right? So we have small classrooms. So even in your math class, you won't have more than 20 students in a classroom. So you not only get to know your theater professors, but you get to know the professors in all of the other areas of the school as well. You can't become a number. I like to say, if you don't want me to see you in Starbucks after you miss my class in the morning, Marymount may not be the place for you to go, right? Because we see the students in the hallway, we check up on them, you know, we know what's going on. I think that our senior year succession of classes, the song portfolio, and then professional preparation for musical theater is a really important aspect of our program. Mm-hmm. We spend an entire semester helping our students build an audition book that's really individual to them, mm-hmm. right? And taking the time to really make sure we're showing everything that is important to them, right? Who they are, what they have to offer, and then doing a lot of simulated auditions, simulated callbacks. In the spring semester, we bring in a variety of guest artists. I can't even go through them all, but we have people from Actors Access, we have people from Equity, we have people from SAG-AFTRA. We do a seminar on websites, we do a seminar on headshots, we do any seminar you can imagine that students are going to need to be leaving and going out into the professional world. We have people come talk to them. We have alumni panels made up of casting directors and agents so they can talk about that side of the business. We have alumni panels that are doing commercial work. We have alumni panels of students that are making their own work and making a difference in the community that as they see it. So it's a really robust senior year. There's a lot packed in, and it does culminate with their senior showcase, which is next weekend. The acting showcase is this weekend. The MT one is the weekend after that. But I think it really gives them a good head start out into the world.
Great segue into the showcase questions. Is it your virtual this year, I'm assuming?
Yes.
All right. So talk to us about this year, but then also a normal year, what the showcases look like.
Sure. We, for the past, I think about 5 years, we've been doing our showcase through Actors Connection, which means that this year, it's all online, but we do a closed showcase. So we have about 5 to 6 casting directors and agents. Well, actually 10 to 12, but 5 to 6 at a time. So this year, our students are, they did self-tapes of 2 different song cuts. And those self-tapes are actually going to be watched ahead of time by these panels. And then in person, meaning on Zoom, they will get to do either commercial copy, a scene, or a monologue of their choice for the panel. So then they will get feedback from that panel on both of the songs that they did on the self-tapes, as well as what the material was that they did in person. So it's, we love the style of the showcase because they get that direct feedback in the room. Sometimes they're asked to do things again, work on something, make an adjustment. So the panelists really get to know our students. It's a short period of time, right? But they get that interaction, they get that work. And it's been really successful for us. We really enjoy the partnership with Actors Connection, and it's been really fruitful for our students. Not only, you know, have our students been signing with agents, but also just the casting directors in the room, calling our students in for auditions. It's been a really wonderful way to get them sort of, again, meeting more people in the industry and getting people to know their work. In person, it's similar. I can tell you last year what we were prepared to do and then what actually happened, of course, were different because of COVID, because our showcase was after COVID started. But we definitely, the preparation was that our musical theater students had 4 songs prepared, and then they started with their choice, and then the panel got to choose their second song. And then in some cases, they chose a third song. And so they got to know them in that way when the showcase was live.
And what about some notable faculty or alums that you have coming out of Marymount?
Absolutely. We have so many amazing alums. Emmy River Lantman, who's currently on the Umbrella Academy. Also, Jekyll Hyde on Broadway, Hamilton, National Tour of Wicked. Annalie Ashford, Tony Award winner for You Can't Take It With You, who's also in Wicked, Sunday in the Park with George, Kinky Boots, number of film, TV things as well. Let's see, Adrienne Warren, who is currently, well, as current as you can be on Broadway, right? Currently playing Tina in the Tina Turner musical. It is absolutely amazing. If you didn't get to see it before the shutdown,
I had tickets.
Go check it out. She is incredible. We were so lucky. We were doing Bring It On actually at Marymount in the fall while she was rehearsing, and she was also in the original cast of Bring It On. And so we were able to get tickets to the final dress rehearsal before the public was before previews started for the cast of Bring It On. So we got to go see her. It was absolutely incredible. It's a tour de force. It really is. She's amazing. Let's see, Kathleen Monteleone, who's on Hands on a Hard Body. She's also part of NBC's You're the One That I Want, where they're searching for the next Sandy. She also created a film called American Reject. Mm. Jason Gauthier, who's also in the original cast of Bring It On. He's on Spider-Man, Peter Pan Live. Now he is on Gossip Girl TV show. So our musical theater students are, I mean, they're doing so many incredible things on Broadway, off Broadway, but also TV and film. And I just want to put a plug in for alums that are doing other things. We have alums that are agents and casting directors and producers, have gone on to graduate school to do many other things that aren't musical theater. And we are really proud of all of them for all of the different paths that they have chosen.
Oh, wow. That's quite a list. I can see why you wanted to put that out there. Well, congratulations to Marymount. That's wonderful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
So let's move on now to the auditions, which I think is the reason why most of the people are listening to this podcast, to find out tips and tricks and all about the audition process for Marymount Manhattan. So Marymount does not pre-screen, even though it is a BFA program that does not pre-screen, which is rare. But can you tell us how many applicants you had this past year?
Yeah, sure. For the musical theater program, we had about 1,300 applicants, actually.
And that's a big jump for you.
That is a big jump for us. It's about, I want to say about 400 more than we typically have for musical theater. We had over 2,000 applicants for the theater department overall this year.
Wow.
So it's a big number. Yeah.
For having not pre-screened, that is a lot of auditions to watch. So
yeah.
How of those auditions, you know, what size class are you aiming for in musical theater?
We're aiming for about 55 incoming students.
Okay, great. And so of those 55 students, what are the qualities that you are looking for in those 55 students when you're watching those videos or seeing them in live auditions?
Sure. We really are looking for people that want to work. We're not necessarily looking for people that are polished products already, right? People that want to play, make changes, really think about diving into the craft. Our in-person auditions, which this year in-person means via Zoom, right, are actually, we typically do them as a class. So when we're actually in the building, we have about 20 to 25 students in a studio classroom with us, and they perform their material for each other. And we treat it like a class. So we ask questions. We may have students do something again, try a different tactic, work on a vocal thing. So we really kind of are giving students a classroom experience for two different reasons. One, it teaches us how the students work, how they can take direction, you know, if they're listeners. But it also gives the students auditioning a better sense of who we are as faculty and how we run our classes. We did a version of this via Zoom. We didn't do it in a group setting, but we did take the time to work with all of the students on Zoom that auditioned for us. So we went through the same process, even though it was just them and us in the room, by asking questions, having them do some of their material a second time so that we got to know them a little bit as people, right, and as humans, as well as what they're like as performers.
Mm-hmm. So an incoming class of 55 is a little bit bigger than most of the BFA musical theater programs out there. So what does the school do to make sure that all 55 of those students are receiving the individual attention that they need to get?
Yeah. So some of it goes back to those class sizes, right? Mm-hmm. We make sure that we keep our class sizes really small so that our students don't feel like they're lost. All of our students also have a faculty advisor. So they have that point person to talk to about their time. You know, there's some advisement that gets done by the advising office, but each of our students meets with their faculty advisor every semester to plan out their schedule, but also to talk about the longer trajectory of their time at Marymount and, you know, what they want to do after graduation, help them figure out those minors or their several majors and all of that kind of stuff. So I think the small class sizes with the faculty advisor really helps to keep it so it feels that it's not as large as it is, right? And the overall size of the school as well. Our students are so busy. They're all doing so many things, which I think is the beauty of our program, is that they're out there, they're creating work, they're making their own projects. They're getting to know playwriting students and directing students. Some of them double major as playwriting and directing students. So they're working on projects with their peers as well, which we really encourage them to do. So I think all of those things together is how it feels like they don't get lost in the shuffle in that way.
Right. Are there any, as far as like main stage productions and things, do you guarantee roles for BFA students or anything?
We don't guarantee roles. You know, there are so many different types of performance opportunities at Marymount, and we have never been able to guarantee roles, but we do take a long look at casting when we are casting. If someone's been cast a number of times, we really try and make sure we're spreading out those casting opportunities for students, assuming that those students are auditioning for all of the different types of projects, right? But there are so many, when I talked about directing projects and playwriting projects alone, there are so many possibilities for casting opportunities that we really encourage our students to make sure they're auditioning for everything, to start getting those opportunities and just to start performing with their peers and working with faculty in those ways.
Great. So to wrap up today, what does the fall look like at Marymount? Is anything exciting coming up? Hopefully we're back in person. What does it look like?
Yeah, hopefully we are back in person. We haven't announced our season yet, so I'm sorry I cannot share that with you.
Okay.
At this point, we have a couple things coming up just in the next few weeks that are kind of exciting. One of those things is our daily dance share. So every semester, because we have 17 sections of daily dance, right? Again, so we keep the dance classes small, so we have a lot of them. But at the end of every semester, each class shares a dance number with their peers. So when we're in person, all of us, all 200 of our students are gathered in a theater space, and each class does a dance that they worked on that semester. It's really such a joyous, amazing moment to have all of our MC students all together sharing what they've worked on, sharing dance, sharing storytelling. So we have that coming up virtually next Friday. We have our directing projects and playwriting projects go up this weekend, so those are coming up. The seniors this past weekend just had a masterclass with Kathleen Marshall, which was amazing. They got to work with her. Each of them got to sing for her and have a coaching session. We just released a video performance of You Will Be Found by Pasek and Paul with an arrangement by Michael McElroy. We were invited to be part of a project that he was doing with some colleges that had the opportunity to sing his arrangements for his group, the Broadway Inspirational Voices. So that just came out last week. We also have people coming from the Broadway Body Positivity Project this weekend to do a seminar with our students. We've had a ton of master classes this whole month with casting directors, alumni, dancers, Ryan Kasperzak, who's one of our alums, who's was one of the dance captains on Hamilton. He and a number of our dance faculty came to talk about dance captaining and swinging and being part of the ensemble. So we've just had a really packed month. This summer, we once again will have we have a pre-college program. So that will be happening in July this summer for high school students. And then the fall is looking great. We are so excited to be back in person with our students. We have a season in mind, but as I said, nothing's been announced, so I can't share that quite yet.
Right.
But as soon as we are ready for that, we will certainly be posting about it on our website.
Awesome. So, Christine, how can students who are interested in Marymount Manhattan get some more information? Who can they contact? Website, all that stuff.
Great. So we have our website is mmm.edu. That's a great place to go. Go to the theater arts page. There's a lot of information on our theater arts pages. You can also email theater@mmm.edu. That email will go to our Kevin Kemmler, who's our recruitment. He kind of heads up our recruitment on the staff side, or one of our student recruiters who also will look at those emails. So students, if they want a student perspective on any parts of the program, they can get in touch with our student recruiters through that.
And that email address is that theaterre or theaterer?
Theaterre.
Ah,
okay. We're very RE. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us learn a little bit more about the BFA program at Marymount Manhattan. And I look forward to speaking to you again, maybe having you work with some of my students on workshops and things. And next time I'm in New York, I'll reach out and maybe we can get together at the campus.
That sounds fantastic. It was so wonderful. Thank you for having me so much.
And thank you for joining us again. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.